For 10 years in the 1970s, writer John Gardner was at the center of American literature, and his ideas were a touchstone for debates on the definition of fiction. Gardner was the best-selling author of half-dozen novels, including Nickel Mountain, Grendel, The Sunlight Dialogues, and October Light. He was also a scholar of medieval literature, a teacher, and critic, some say a severe critic, of contemporary fiction. John Gardner died in 1982. Now, the first biography of John Gardner is calling attention to his life and work. From New York, Tom Vitale has the story.
John Gardner made his deepest impression on the literary world with his 1979 book On Moral Fiction. In it, Gardner borrowed a page from Tolstoy, arguing that fiction matters in civilization, that our stories ought to be more than entertainment. They should be moral, meaning logical and true, and finally, life-affirming. Biographer Barry Selesky called his book John Gardner, Literary Outlaw.
He made his stake in many ways. He made his presence by outraging people, or trying to outrage. You know, it's a certain amount of that child adolescent urge to go counter, to violate, to cause a ruckus, to rebel. Like a lot of people, of course, he grew up with it, but unlike most, he never left it.
John Gardner illustrated his argument for moral fiction with novels that he thought fell short of what fiction ought to be, including books by some of his famous contemporaries, Norman Mailer, Joseph Heller, John Updike, E.L. Doctorow, and Saul Bellow.
That outraged the literary establishment, and I remember telling John at the time, you know, it's going to be a long time before they forgive you for this.
Liz Rosenberg is a former student of John Gardner's who became his second wife. She says despite her warning, Gardner insisted on naming names in On Moral Fiction in order to spark a debate.
He was absolutely passionate about literature. There was no small talk in John. And I didn't realize for many years later that most writers like to talk about real estate. That's not John. John was really only interested in the conversation if you were talking about great ideas or great books. The only huge fight we ever had in our 7 years together was about who was the great American novelist. You know, was it Melville or Hawthorne? We had a horrible fight over that.
Gardner thought the great American novelist was Melville, and Gardner was just as passionate about writing as Ahab was about his white whale. In 1977, when he spoke to Bill Fox's Writer's Workshop at the University of South Carolina, Gardner urged the fiction students to get it right.
And getting it right means very simple things. It means, you know, create, if you're talking about fiction, a vivid and continuous dream in the reader's mind. You know, absolutely vivid because it's got enough detail and it's the right detail and it's not the same old detail that somebody else, you know, gave and so on. Just everything that goes with vivid, think about, figure it out, get it vivid. Continuous, don't distract the reader with a grammatical error or shifting to the wrong character at the wrong time. You've got to go over it a thousand times. Take 6 months on a short story of 20 pages until it's right.
In his own work, Gardner combined vivid details with imaginative stories. His first popular and critical success came in 1971 with his novel Grendel, a retelling of one of the oldest tales in English, Beowulf, from the monster's point of view. In 1978, on the radio program New Letters on the Air, Gardner read a scene in which the monster Grendel meets a terrifying dragon.
My heart shook. His eyes stared straight at me. My knees and insides were so weak I had to drop down on all fours. His mouth opened slightly. Bits of flame escaped.
"Ah, Grendel," he said, "you've come."
The voice was startling. No rolling boom as I would have expected, but a voice that might have come from an old, old man. Louder, of course, but not much louder.
"We've been expecting you," he said.
He gave a nervous laugh like a miser caught at his counting. His eyes were heavy-lidded, minutely veined, wrinkled like an elderly mead drinker's.
"Stand around the side if you don't mind, boy," he said. "I get a cough sometimes, and it's terrible straight out front."
The high, dead eyelids wrinkled more, the corners of his mouth snaked up as he chuckled, sly, hardly hiding his malice. I quickly ducked around to the side.
"Good boy," he said.
He tipped his head, lowering an eye toward me.
"Smart boy."
He lifted a wrinkled paw with man-length talons for nails and held it over my head as if to crush me with it, but he merely brought it down lightly once, twice, three times, patting my head.
Underneath its fanciful premise, Grendel raises profound questions. What is a monster? And what is the role of religion? John Gardner managed to write bestsellers that were also novels of ideas.
I think what I learned most from John was the importance of voice and literary form and being inventive.
Novelist Charles Johnson, who won the 1990 National Book Award for Middle Passage, says when he was a student at Southern Illinois in 1972, John Gardner helped to shape his first novel, Faith and the Good Thing.
I hadn't figured out how really to approach the philosophical novel, not until I began work on Faith and the Good Thing with John looking over my shoulder. And he was very enthusiastic. John brought me into the book world. When I was working on that book, he went away to Northwestern to teach, and he was supervisor of a literary publication there. And he came back from one of those, you know, jaunts to Northwestern, and he showed me the magazine, the literary magazine, and it had my first chapter in it, which he published without telling me.
For all the enemies John Gardner made with his literary criticism, he inspired just as many devoted followers with his commitment to teaching. Charles Johnson.
You know, if you were talking to John Gardner about art, he could make you believe in your bones, in your heart, that you could do the kinds of performances that the greatest writers of all time were able to achieve. It was like a light bulb would go on in the room as he was talking about Homer and writers that he loved, Dante. You know, he was a magnificent teacher.
John Gardner taught at workshops, conferences, and colleges around the country. He wrote 10 novels, 2 books of stories, 6 books of poetry and translation, and more than a dozen works of nonfiction and criticism. Gardner said he was driven by a terrible loss as a child. He was born in 1933 in Batavia, upstate New York, where his father owned a dairy farm. Biographer Barry Selesky.
He was driving a 2-ton pickup Farmall tractor, and there was an accident when he was 12 and killed his younger brother, who was 8 at the time. Now, he pointed over and over to that. He felt guilty about doing that, and part of what he was engaged in, maybe a bit, he would say a major part, was a kind of compensation, an expiation of that guilt.
Gardner spent the rest of his life seeking redemption through art. On Wednesday morning, September 14th, 1982, 3 days before he was to be married the third time to another of his students, Susan Thornton, John Gardner left his home in Pennsylvania, across the border from Binghamton, got on his Harley, and set out to meet a young novelist at a diner. On the winding road along the Susquehanna River, he lost control of the motorcycle. In the spill, the handlebar ruptured his spleen, and he died. He was 49 years old. Liz Rosenberg.
You know, we spoke the night before he died at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he had called to ask me to be the best man at his wedding. And I remember telling him, you know, honey, this is your day and Susan's day, and I don't think I ought to be there. And he said, I love you terribly, and then got off the phone. And that I love you and that terribly is so John, because he could really balance ambivalence. He balanced it in himself. He balances it in the work. He was large. He contained volumes.
Most of John Gardner's volumes of fiction are out of print today. But Liz Rosenberg is hopeful they'll eventually be reissued. In her words, we need John's works too much to lose them entirely. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.
John Gardner also had a connection to NPR in the late 1970s. He wanted to produce an arts magazine that would, in his words, prick inflated reputations and build an audience for those artists who richly deserve it. To find out more, visit our website at npr.org. This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen.
Weekend Edition Sunday is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. You can hear any story from today's show or previous shows online at npr.org. Just click on Audio Archives. This is NPR.